What's three mistakes that people make when they're starting out a podcast? What's some of the things where people go wrong?
They think it's about the gear.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We're here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth and today's guest is Dave Jackson. Dave launched the School of Podcasting in 2005. He is OG in the podcasting world. He's inducted into the Podcasting Hall of Fame in 2018. He's the author of the book, Profit from Your Podcast, Proven Strategies to Turn Listeners into a Livelihood. And over the years, he's launched over 30 different podcasts with over 4 million downloads. So today we're going to be talking with Dave about how to grow a podcast. We'll cover how to attract the right listeners, how to grow your audience, including using networking for podcast growth. And we're going to reveal common beginner mistakes and how to avoid them. Now, before we delve into today's interview, I want to take you on a quick and hopefully helpful trip back in time. Do you remember what the highest rated show on MTV was back in 2005? It was The Real World. But the second highest rated show was a series called Pimp My Ride. Do you remember that show? In every episode, they would find some poor soul who was driving a broken down beater of a car. Then during a 30-minute show, they'd take the person's busted-up ride and then turn it into a souped-up, tricked-out dream car. The reason I reference that show is because right now you have the chance to get my team and me to pimp your funnel. This month, we're going to select 10 course creators and we're going to help them go from a broken-down funnel that leaks conversions to a tricked-out funnel that explodes with sales and profits. So to enter for a chance to win, go to pimpyourfunnel.com and fill out our short questionnaire. If you're selected as one of our 10 winners, my team will record a full video on your course funnel. We'll point out where a simple little tweak or an upgrade is going to bring in more sales and revenue. In 30 minutes or less, we'll show you how to fix the leaks in your funnel so it goes from profit draining to revenue escalating. We normally charge $1,000 for these, but if you win, it's 100% free. So go to pimpyourfunnel.com for a chance to win. Dave, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. You're doing something very well. We'll talk about that later. You did something and I was like, I see what's going on. All right, cool. But no, I'm very happy to be here.
Do you remember Pimp My Ride?
I do, vaguely. I can't remember the name of the host, but I always remember, like, you know, you've got this beat up Ford Pinto, you know, and it's just a horrible car. And I'm always like, when they pimp it out, like, does the insurance go up? Are they kind of like, hey, thanks, guys. You just raised my insurance by, you know, 200%. Thanks. Appreciate that.
I think most of them sold it afterwards. I don't think they. That's my guess. I don't know this, you know. All right. So let's get down into podcast growth. So really excited to talk about this. We've been running this podcast for a couple of years. I know there's a lot still for me more to learn. How do you get the right people to listen to your podcast? How do you start with that?
It's really something that, like you mentioned just a second ago, you know, there are people that are missing low-hanging fruit in their funnels. And for me, I don't know why. I think it's because that first episode, it takes you so long to kind of get through the learning curve that you feel like, you know, the Lion King, where you want to hold up your podcast and, you know, oh, look at what I've created. And you skip the thing where you have somebody listen to it and go, does that work for you? Do you want to do whatever it is I want you to do when you get done listening to the podcast? And I think that's something that a lot of people just skip. And then they wonder, why isn't my podcast growing? Ron Howard, the famous director and actor and all that, he's done a gazillion movies and won a bazillion awards. He does not let a movie go out to the public without sitting in it with an audience, because he knows when people are supposed to laugh and cry. And if it's not getting the reaction that he's like, oh, they're supposed to laugh here and they're crying, that's not good. We need to go back to editing. So that's kind of the first part. And I think the other thing is kind of, you're going to get an audience. The question is that the audience you want? And so that's where I did a mistake once, and it was my favorite mistake ever. I went to my email list and I was going to pick 10 email addresses and just say, hey, I'd like to talk to you on Zoom and just learn to get a little more about you. And I've got an idea for a product. I'm going to do some, basically poll them. Hey, do you want this? And I mistakenly sent this out to my entire list. So for 2 weeks, I had almost back-to-back-to-back 15-minute meetings with my whole audience. And it was the best thing I've ever done, because I wasn't assuming what my audience wants. I knew they, like, I had people and I'd be like, here's this new thing I'm thinking of doing. And I didn't have a single person go, wait, is that available now? Like, how much is it? They're all like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. It's like, that's not really the response I was looking for. So that's part of it, just getting to know your audience. And then in some cases, you get an audience that you weren't expecting. And now when I look at it, I'm in my 50s, and I will occasionally throw out a reference from the late 70s. And consequently, I'm attracting people who know what the heck Fonzie is from Happy Days.
When you said Ron Howard, my first thought was not brilliant director. It was Richie.
Richie Cunningham. Yeah, exactly. And so I had a friend of mine that said, hey, you know, depending on who you're trying to attract, you might want to lay low on the Waltons references or Richie or, you know, all this other stuff. And I was like, you know what, I do, but that's just kind of, you know, that's what I grew up watching and listening and things like that. I guess I could drop a few, you know, Ed Sheeran and Billie Eilish references if I wanted to. But I also then found out that for me, boomers are people that the kids have grown up. They've got empty nest syndrome. They might want to retire in a few years, and they've got a lot of experience. They're actually pretty cool podcasters once they get them over the mentality of me and technology don't get along. So that's part of it, is either A, if I was like, I'm getting too many boomers, then I would have to kind of tweak things a little bit to make sure it's resonating with the audience that I wanted. But in my case, I was like, these people got money. They've been working for 30 years. They got a little nest egg. Let's go with these people. So I think that's part of it, is knowing who you want to attract and then just getting feedback. Because I know a few people that they aimed left. They got an audience that they didn't expect. And they're like, yeah, but can I work with these people? Will they actually do what I want them to do? And they're like, and then they just double down on the audience that they attracted. So it's kind of tricky, because you can do all sorts of research and you have an idea of who's going to, I'm going to put this out. It's a pizza. And then a bunch of vegans show up and you're like, wait, what? You know, so you're like, all right, well, let's make it a vegan pizza, and off you go.
When you're doing that, so you've started to grow that, how do you recommend understanding who your audience is? Do you recommend to everybody, right, do these 15-minute calls? Do you suggest surveys? Do you ask people to email you? Like, what kind of ways should people do it?
Yeah, there are a couple of things you can do. Because obviously, if you're just starting out, you don't have an audience. You're like, how can I poll my audience? I don't have one. Definitely make a poll. That's granted, if you don't have an audience, you're not going to get a lot of responses. But there are places you can go. And one of the bad news, the kind of the bad sides of YouTube, is people are brutally honest in the comments. Okay, well, good. Go over and search for your topic on YouTube, find that channel, and then you can sort by the most popular video. Okay, go there. Now look at the comments. And that sometimes will give you great insights into people like, this is the dumbest thing, you didn't talk about so-and-so, or this is, I'm so glad you did this. So many people should. So you're going to get some honest feedback. There's a lot of that's just like, meh, but you should get some feedback there that you can chew on. And likewise, go to Amazon, search for your topic, find a book, and then you want to look for 1 or 2-star and 4-star reviews, not 1 and 5, because 1's going to be, this book was awful. Okay, thanks, but that's not helpful. And 5 will be, best book ever. But 2 will be, you know, I would have given this a 1, but they did talk about such and such. And 4 is going to be, you know, I would have given this a 5, but they didn't talk about so-and-so and such and such and such and such. So it's a little more detailed feedback that you can get from. So if you don't have an audience, that's a place at least you can get a start. And then Facebook groups. I go to a lot of Facebook groups, not to contribute, but to lurk. And I go in and I just listen and I see people. Like for me, the question I get almost on a daily basis, what's the best microphone under $100? The Samson Q2U, in case you're wondering. But you look for those, So you look at those questions that come up over and over, or the questions that get a lot of engagement. So sometimes people go to a Facebook group because they want to blast, hey, I'm starting a podcast. And I'm like, no, go there and figure out what's going on. So you can do things in Facebook groups. You always have to look at the rules, because some of them have very, very strict rules on any kind of self-promotion. But I always look, I go in and just answer a lot of questions, and then I make my bio available to everybody. Anybody can look at it. And one of those things in my bio, of course, is a link to the School of Podcasting. And I'll go into my stats and I'll see where one of my top referrers is Facebook. So I'm delivering value, and people are like, who is this guy? He's always in here answering questions. It's a trickle, but it works. And then when you get a trickle from Twitter and a trickle from Instagram, then you get your newsletter going, you know, it comes in that way. But those are a couple of ways that if you're not sure what your audience wants, you can get some feedback from out in the wild.
You've got going, you've gone through these YouTube videos, you've you've looked at the comments, you've gone on Amazon, you've read the comments there, you've gone on the Facebook groups, you started to get some idea of what kinds of things should be covered for your audience. You start to build an audience, maybe you've polled them, maybe you've done these 15-minute calls. So you start to get an idea of, okay, who my audience actually is versus what I was expecting. And you either have pivoted slightly or you've gone, right, I'm going to double down on this audience I've got. How do you then start to grow that audience? What some approaches people can take?
Yeah, the easiest one is find another podcast like yours and don't look at them as competition, even though technically they are. But so many people think of them in the ways of radio where, you know, hey, we're both on Mondays at 7:30. Well, you're not. You can listen to me on Monday. You can listen to Daniel J. Lewis on Tuesday. You can listen to Ray Ortega on Wednesday. You know, it's time shifted. And so some of my best friends are my quote competition, because who else can I geek out about podcasting with? So getting on somebody else's show, or in some cases I've had people, they're like, hey, why don't we tackle a topic together? We'll record it once and then we'll play it on each of our podcasts. And then we'll say, hey, today from this show, we're having so-and-so and they'll introduce me. So that way, instead of having two separate episodes, it's one episode that you've kind of co-produced together and then you cross promote. Anytime you can get your content in front of people who already listen to podcasts. So I heard where somebody did a study, and it was a super niche job. And they somehow, I'm not sure how, they got the addresses of everybody who had that job, and they sent out postcards. And that sounds great, right? It's like, hey, it's right in their mailbox on their house. But the problem is that mailbox may be nowhere near their phone. And unless there's a QR code on it or something like that, right now, the thing that's working the most is somehow getting in front of other podcast listeners, because they've already figured out what a podcast is and how to subscribe to one. And that's the other one. I hear people say this all the time. Find me wherever fine podcasts are provided. And what they don't know, and I know this because I work for a podcasting company and their tech support, I work for Libsyn, the search in Apple and Spotify especially, is horrendous. And then people will put the word podcast in their title. And I'm like, I don't go watch, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy movie. No, it's just Guardians of the Galaxy. We know it's a movie. So we don't really need the word podcast in your title. We don't need the word the in your title. And when you do that, you're basically ranking against every other show that has the word podcast. Those are little things you can do to help get found. But the easier thing to do is go to, you know, schoolofpodcasting.com/follow. Okay, it reinforces my brand. And when you go there, you'll see that depending on what kind of device you're on, it will show different buttons. If you're on an iPhone, it's going to show you Apple. If you're on an Android phone, it's going to show Google Podcasts, things like that. But that reinforces your brand. And then if people like your show, and they should because it's good, they're going to share that. And that, again, now you've got more links pointing at your website. So that's going to potentially boost your SEO. Same thing with your episodes. To grow them, put them on your website. Some people will use the built-in website from your media host. I'm like, why are you sending all the traffic to those guys? Put it on your website. Plus, you know, with your newsletter, how am I going to get people to sign up for my newsletter? I need to get them to my website. So this is where I'm going to talk about my trip to London. And if you want to see the picture of me almost getting hit by a taxi because I looked the wrong way, check it out. And then I'll give a URL, like, I don't know, schoolofpodcasting.com/882, because that's the episode number. And get them there. And then while they're there, now make it easy to subscribe to my newsletter, follow my show. All the magic happens on your website. And so many people are sending traffic either to the wrong place, or B, they're saying, find me. And I'm like, that means you're lost. No, make it easy. Because if you think about a radio back in the day, I mean, if we go way back in the days of Fonzie, right? You had a dial and you had to turn the dial and it would be kind of fuzzy and then it would come in. And then when digital radio came out, you had presets. And that's really when you get that link from Apple and Spotify and Google. Those are presets. People don't have to scan the dial to find your podcast. So just make it whatever your website is, /follow or /subscribe, and then have those links right there so they can click once. Okay, now I'm listening in Overcast or Pocket Cast or Apple or whatever it is. Make it super easy to follow, because now they're going to get your content automatically. And same thing with a newsletter. Some people are like, well, should I ask them to follow or should I ask people to join my newsletter? And I'm like, well, which one's easier? Which one are people more acquainted with? Well, probably a newsletter. And then once they're on your newsletter, guess what you can do? Ask them to follow the show. Here's the link to Apple, Google, and Spotify. So I hear a lot of people say, especially about ratings and reviews, and this has been debunked actually by Apple. They'll go, follow us on Apple Podcasts. It helped us get found. And that's absolutely 100% not true. Apple has said, no, it's social proof, kids. It doesn't help in the search. And so I hear that all the time. And I'm like, but let's say you want social proof. Okay. You know what else is social proof? A big fat email list. Like if you're trying to impress a sponsor and you could say, look, I've got 76 ratings, 4-star ratings on Apple. Oh, and I also have 1,200 people on my newsletter. They're going to be more impressed with the newsletter. So if the goal is social proof, get them to sign up for your newsletter, and the newsletter can get them to sign up and follow the show, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned there about getting onto other people's podcasts because that's got podcast listeners already. It's people who are used to listening and maybe doing a kind of co-produced show with somebody. How do you suggest doing that, like outreach to other people in your industry? How do you see it working in terms of that, connecting with other people?
I can tell you what doesn't work. We'll flip it a little bit. I get this every day. Hello, I love your show. Okay, well, number one, my name's Dave. Not that I'm a big egomaniac, but you know, I say at the beginning of every show, I love your show. Which one? I have five. So I already know straight up that you're just spamming me. And then it's going to be all about them. I cured cancer. I invented sliced bread. I'm the captain of a submarine, something that has nothing to do. I had somebody yesterday, big real estate person, sounded like a tremendous LinkedIn bio. And I just emailed them. I said, please tie this into my podcast because I have no idea what this has to do with planning, starting, and growing a podcast. That's what my show's about. I don't do real estate. And I get those all the time because somebody has gone out to Apple. They've scraped their back end. They've got a bunch of emails of podcasters and they just blast them. So what would work is, hey, Dave, I heard on episode whatever you talked about this subject. I'm a person who has an expertise in this other subject. Have you ever talked about that? And are you currently looking for guests? That's it. I would love to be a guest on a show that's a solo show. I'm like, I've never had a guest on the show. Why are you asking to be that? So I'm here to tell you, spending 3 minutes of research on a show to where you use my name, explain that you've something that proves you listen to the show, you miles apart from everybody else because everybody else is just grabbing a big database dump and I call it spray and pray. And so any kind of individualized approach will make you stand out. Now, the bad news is I just said it'll take you maybe 5 minutes to do some quick research. Okay, but you've got a list of 100. That's 500 minutes. And that's where I always say you either pay in one of two currencies, either time or money. And I wish I could recommend because there are plenty of services that can get you on podcasts. And I get those emails every day and they're horrible. So I'm still waiting for somebody who's done the work and done the research to where I go, ooh, if you have any more guests, send them over because you obviously know what my show's about. And it is what it is. You know, it's faster to spray and pray, but is it effective? And I'm like, well, you know, it's up to you. But that would be my suggestion is reach out. And because so many times what I get is it's about them. And a good podcaster is about serving their audience. So when you can say, hey, I see you're talking to so-and-so, here's how my background can serve your audience. It's all about serving their audience. Then they're going to be like, this is awesome. I can't wait to introduce you to my audience. And then while you're there, you throw out your website or your book or whatever's going, but make it about their audience, not so much, look at me, I'm so great. And then they have to go, wait, this person has this skill. Does that kind of tie into my audience? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I need to connect the dot. But if you just make it a no-brainer, hey, here, I know who your audience is and here's how I can benefit them. That's home run.
Nice. Okay, cool. What's three mistakes or what's any mistakes that people make when they're starting out a podcast? What's some of the things where people go wrong?
They think it's about the gear. This is a $400 SM7B, the Samson Q2 used behind me. I'm here to tell you it does not sound $400 better. And they just think, oh, if I just had this, if I just had that. And I've never heard anybody come to me and say, hey, Dave, you got to listen to this podcast. And I go, great, why? And they go, the audio is like butter for your ears. It's not the sound. Now, you don't want it to sound bad. You don't want it to sound like you recorded it in the bathroom and it's a bunch of echo, but you don't have to spend $1 million on that. So that's one. And then to me, this is like, you'll hear diets. where people go, okay, all you have to do is never eat a carb again. Don't sniff bread. Do this, exercise more. And while you're at it, do this, 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 and that. And so people try to do a podcast and they're like, okay, I got to be on YouTube. I got to do audio and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And they can't, it's like, you're going from zero to a million. Start with audio. And right now, nobody is saying this. Audio outperforms video. And they go, wait, what? Because YouTube's the second largest search engine. And I'm like, yeah. And Bill Maher came to Libsyn, made a video podcast. We had to twist his arm to put it out as audio. And he's like, whatever, audio schmaudio. He hired a PR firm that only promoted the video, Club Random, that's his show. And the audio outperformed it 10 to 1. Why? Because there's more places to listen than there are to watch. I can't watch your YouTube channel in the car and busy driving. So start with audio and then go to video. Now, if you've got the bandwidth and you've got the budget and the money, by all means, start with video, because when you start with video, well, now you've got video and audio. If you start with just audio, you can't really turn audio into a video. You kind of can, but I just see a lot of people start off by trying to do everything. And I'm like, well, instead of trying to, you like, this is the podcast I'm going to do. And then you try to squeeze it into your life, look at your life and then go, what kind of podcast can I squeeze into that? So when you find out that, hey, that first episode took 10 hours to do an hour long podcast, do you have 10 hours a week to do that? And if you go, well, no, I got the kids and soccer practice. I'm like, okay, could you do it every other week? Probably. Okay. Well, then that's your schedule. So I see people set unrealistic expectations. So that's the second one. And then just realize, in terms of mistakes, you are the goalie of your podcast. And what I mean by that is your audience is behind you, and somebody, a guest comes on, and they start just talking about stuff that doesn't really bring value to your audience. You're the goalie. There are movie editors, there are book editors, there are newspaper editors, et cetera, et cetera. Edit your podcast. And somebody said, what's the difference between a conversation and a podcast? I go, a conversation hasn't had the boring stuff edited out of it. And I hear so many people like, no, I'm going to keep it real. And I'm like, okay, you're going to keep it real boring then. You know, you're being real lazy, and I get it. It's your show. There are no rules in here. The podcast police aren't going to knock on your door. But for me, if I do an interview, I listen to the question. And the first thing I listen for is, when did they start to answer the question? If they answered the question, sometimes you're like, hey, Dave, what's your favorite pizza? And I go, purple. Okay, well, I answered your question, but I didn't answer your question. So that's one. Did they answer the question? And then the second one is, when do they start to actually answer it? Because a lot of times people love to give you the backstory. They're like, hey, when did you start looking at this? And they're like, well, you know, my assistant was doing this and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And they're like, and so about 6 weeks into that, and then you're like, there you go. There's the answer. How long have you been? About 6 weeks ago. So cut that out, because your audience, everybody here is not sitting down going, well, I'm so glad this podcast is going because I have another 3 hours to kill. No, we're all really busy. So when you can get to the point and cut out the boring stuff, that audience is going to grow. And then the other one, the last little tip is, when it comes to promoting yourself, I know some people really have a hard time with this. And it sounds like this. They'll go, you know, like if you kind of want to, like you don't have to, but like, you know, share the, you know, the show, our website, .com. And you're like, wait, what? That was a pitch? And I had a guy on my show. He has 300,000 downloads an episode. His name's Jack from the Darknet Diaries. I believe it's darknetdiaries.net. Could be .com. I should remember that. But anyway, I asked Jack, I go, how'd you grow your audience? And he goes, I slowly, specifically, and confidently asked them to share the show. And I go, what does that sound like? He goes, well, you know, hey, we're at the 28-minute mark, so obviously you like this show. And if you know somebody else that would like this show, could you do me a favor? It's actually going to help both of us, because your friend's going to be amazed at what you're sending them. So they're going to think you're cool, and I'm going to grow my audience. So if you could just go to your phone, there's probably a little up arrow right there. If you could share this with at least one person, well, it would just mean the world to me. Or if you want to, just send them to darknetdiaries.com. That's it. And I was like, okay, but what else do you do? And he goes, no, that's it. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, slowly, specifically, and confidently. But the thing that Jack did that most people don't is he had that group. And he said, okay, I want you to listen to this episode and then answer these questions. Did you listen to the whole thing? yes or no. If you didn't listen to the whole thing, why not? And then number three, on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is, I'm going to tell everybody, how likely are you to share this episode with a friend? And he said, and if I got a 7, I wasn't happy. He goes, I was looking for 9s and 10s. And that goes back to, why are you spending money on Facebook ads on a podcast that may not be resonating with your audience? You're just wasting your money.
Okay. So what we've got so far is, don't obsess over the technology.
Right.
Get a lot of feedback about the podcast and then ask people to share it. And then yeah, the other main thing was, find those other podcasters who are in your industry and that got the same audience as you want to have, and reach out to them, listen to their podcasts, reach out to them personally, actually follow up with them. Okay.
Yeah. And one last one, I'm lucky enough, I work for a podcast hosting company, so I get to go to all these events. And that is really the number one way to, when you can tell me the eye color of your audience, you're in the right spot. So whether it's a QR code or business cards or something, but it's those personal relationships that can really come in handy. I've had a bunch of emails come in since I got back from London, like, hey, we met in London, we talked about this. And so that is just something, for whatever reason, you know, that person-to-person contact seems to spark things that you can't get on a Zoom meeting. But if you can get to an event about your subject, whatever it is, definitely go.
Nice. And what do you think long-term is more important for growing a podcast? Is it having a passion about the subject, or is it like the strategy that you set up in terms of how you're going to do the whole thing and how you're going to make money from it?
It's kind of a little bit of both. You definitely need the passion, because when I wrote my book on monetization and I asked people, I'm like, how long did it take you to make more than Mountain Dew money? And nobody likes this answer. And that is, they said that the shortest was 2 to 3 years. But most people said 3 years. And I said, so I always tell people, are you willing to talk about something for free for 3 years? And they're like, three. I was thinking more like 3 months. And I'm like, well, you know, depending on where you're coming from. But if you're a brand new podcaster, you kind of have to find your voice. You get comfortable behind the microphone and things like that. And then eventually, you know, it starts growing. And that's where, if you can kind of find your voice and get some feedback up front, that speeds that whole process up. Then I love strategy. I love to, like right now I'm running an ad on Buzzsprout as a hosting company, and they have a way that you can basically upload a 40-second trailer. And I use a tool called Switchy that is just a link tracker. And so I bought 10,000 impressions, and I'm tracking how many people click to go to the School of Podcasting, how many people click my link to Spotify, and how many people click my link to iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And I'm just obsessing over that. And it's not a ton. It's one of those where I'm like, okay, I paid $200 and I think I've got maybe 13 clicks. And then you start doing the math on you're like, that is not good. Now, it's only right now about 25% of the way through the campaign. So it's way early. But that's the kind of stuff that I love to see. Is it working? Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than spending money and going, well, that was a waste of $200. But it is fun when you find the right thing that works. And for me, that's, I heard you on this guy's podcast. Well, that's how you found me. Like, I heard you on this other show, I'd like you to come on my show. So that is something where taking the time to get that personalized approach, getting on somebody's show, and then delivering value. I just watched 8 Days a Week on Hulu. It's a Beatles documentary. And the one thing those guys did, they were great at interviews. I mean, they already had Girls Screaming, but the press loved them because it wasn't a boring interview. It's kind of, the bottom line is, just don't be boring.
Once you've grown the podcast, how can people then use it to lead to more sales? Like, our audience listening here are people who are selling online courses, and like, I've got my answer to it, but I'd love to hear, like, how would you go about doing that? What's the steps people can go through?
The one I see people using a lot, and if it's done properly, works, and that is, bring on one of your students, because there's nothing better than, you know, somebody kind of giving you a testimonial without making it sound like a giant ad. So when you can say, you were thinking of launching a membership site or whatever it is, whatever skill you're selling, you know, you went, what were you like before the course? And then how was the course? You know, what were the things you maybe had to, saw them as a hurdle and you had to overcome, et cetera, et cetera. And then what's it like afterwards? If you can throw in some lessons there, knowing again that, hey, my audience struggles with this, how did this person overcome that? Oh, now they might be going, I'm going to have to try that. So I've seen people do that a lot. The other thing that a podcast really comes in handy for is networking. There are people that I have spoken to that I have no business speaking with. My very first podcast was for musicians, and I got to speak to all these people I grew up listening to, like the drummer of Ozzy Osbourne and the bass player and blah, blah, blah. And to me, that was like amazing because I grew up listening to these people. And all I had to say was, I'm doing a podcast. Now, back in 2005, it was, what's a podcast? And you had to explain, it's like an internet radio show. But there are people that you can talk to that if you said, hey, can I take you to lunch sometime and just pick your brain? They'd be like, get out of here, kid, you bother me. But if you say, oh, great, wise person, I have an audience who needs your intelligence. Would you like to come share it? They're like, sure, what day's available? So networking is a great way to do that. And then that networking can lead to, in my case, speaking opportunities. I remember once I've had Pat Flynn on my show from Smart Passive Income. I've known Pat for years. At one point, I was running a podcast conference and he came and spoke. So I knew Pat from that. And I was at an event and Michael Stelzner from Social Media Marketing World came up to talk to Pat and we just had a conversation. And when I got home, Mike said, hey, would you like to come speak at Social Media Marketing World? So it's just those little things where it's not like a giant just mound of opportunities fall on your lap. It's this person led to that, which led to this, which led to this. And so things like that. So it's just a matter of just keeping doing it. People say, like, Dave, how did you accomplish so much? I said, I've been doing it 18 years and I didn't quit. And then I mentioned networking. The other thing that can really help is doing a solo show. And I know a lot of people are like, I feel really weird talking to the wall. And I'm like, so don't talk to the wall. Again, go back, figure out who your audience is. And I just picture this invisible person sitting right there across the table from me. And I'm excited to tell them about this new thing. I was just in London. I saw this thing called 11 Labs. It's really spooky, et cetera, et cetera. And I talk to one person. I do not do the YouTube, hey guys, on today's show, I'd say, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so glad you're here. And it's a subtle difference. But when I hear people, if I meet them at a show, they'll be like, I always kind of feel like you're just talking to me. And they go, it's because I am. So that's another little trick that just builds that kind of connection. And I mentioned earlier about connecting with kind of your past. Anytime you can make a point with a personal story. So when I was growing up, Muhammad Ali was the champ forever. And I later read books on him and he stood up for his beliefs and he lost his title and all sorts of crazy stuff. The guy that had convictions and did not sway from them. So he's so much more than a boxer. And when he died, I was kind of like, oh man, that was one of my heroes. So I did an episode on podcasting, but I shared my love of Muhammad Ali. And I'm like, here are some things that you can learn about podcasting from Muhammad Ali. Number one, way talented. Number two, always promoting. Number three, totally unique. And I just went down the list. And when that episode went out, I had people email me and they're like, hey, he was my champ too, Dave. And I'd be like, hey, thanks so much for listening. What would you like to hear in future episodes of the podcast? So anytime anybody emails me, the thing I'm going to fire back at them, thanks so much for listening. What would you like to hear in the podcast? Or what would you not like to hear in the podcast? Because now I've got a conversation going. Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, I go back to newsletters versus ratings and reviews. Not that ratings and reviews are bad. I just think getting a conversation going is so much more important.
Nice. Well, that was amazing. I've learned a lot for Defna. I hope if you are listening, then you have learned a lot too in terms of how you might be able to grow your podcast in the future. And if people heard this and they want some more of your wisdom, where should they go? What's the website or books or what should they go check out?
Yeah, everything is out at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you want to see everything from Dave, I do have one website that has a bunch of links and that's powerofpodcasting.com.
Nice. Schoolofpodcasting.com and powerofpodcasting.com. Perfect. If you found this interview useful and you want to get future episodes, please subscribe at datadrivenmarketing.co/podcast, where we've got all the links. Thanks so much, Dave, for coming on today. And thanks so much to you for listening.
Oh, thank you. It was awesome.